I don't even want to tell you what the name of the show is. We're just here to talk about. I mean, look at the title. It's Maximum News. It's not been a good day, but we're here to talk about gaming news, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joined as always by Subsidian of the Triple S League. We're just going to jump into it. I'm not going to waste your time. Star Wars Battlefront. Yes, you've all heard about it. Look how they massacred my boy. I can do a pretty decent Marlon Brando impression, but I'm just not in the mood right now. Especially because of how much this is pissing me off. Side. I had an original Xbox. I got Xbox Live a year after it first started in 2003. And I recall that when I still had that and I was still playing Xbox Live on it, there were two games that I would play online more than anything else. Halo 2 and Star Wars Battlefront. Those games were my childhood. I mean, Halo 2 more than the other. It's one of my top 10 favorite games. But goddamn, Star Wars Battlefront back in the day was legit. Especially Battlefront 2, because they allowed you to go up into space. They allowed you to have flying vehicles and stuff like that. It was awesome. It was so awesome that when I got Steam, when I finally got a PC, one of the first games that I bought was Battlefront 1 and 2. Because I just wanted to be able to play those games again and on dedicated servers, because my Xbox actually stopped working my original console. So I was able to play that, and I was very happy about it. So because of the existence of those games on PC, I was kind of surprised when a few weeks ago, I can't remember what, like if it was a part of like a Sony or a Nintendo thing or whatever, or maybe they just announced it on its own, I can't remember. But we learned that Battlefront 1 and 2 were going to be a part of a package that was available for people to buy on the PC. I didn't really understand why, because the games were already there. But then I learned that what they were trying to do was re-release the game with some supposed quality of life additions. These would include textures that had the resolution increased via AI. So that sounds cool. 4K 60 FPS capability. Although for some reason I thought it already had that. Maybe it does. But at least we know for certain that this one does. It'd have an anti-aliasing. Plus, it would have the Xbox exclusive content, which all subsequent versions of Battlefront and Battlefront 2 had not had up until the release of this. So that sounds cool. And, you know, it's just having this announcement, letting people, old fans of the game know, of the games know, that it was being re-released, would probably have a whole bunch of people influx and, you know, be able to share in the nostalgia of these two wonderful games. Well, I mean, of the 10,000 people that flooded in, about only 200 people were able to enjoy it. This game had some of the most amateurish problems at release. I couldn't believe it. Well, no, I guess I could because of the way that the Star Wars IP is being treated right now.
It's EA.
It's EA, yeah, and especially because it's EA. EA and Lucasfilm? Come on. All right. Well, unless it's Respawn and those, you know, they're the ones keeping stuff alive. But yeah, so check this out, guys. 10,000 people flooded into Steam to play this game. That was about as much as, well, just a little bit less than what Suicide Squad had for a new game on its release. And this game is like 20 years old and it has that level of popularity. That's pretty impressive. Here's the thing, though. They had, apparently, only 3 servers for people to play on. For some reason, I guess they were expecting only around 200 people were going to want to buy this on PC and play it. They didn't have the servers to be able to withstand thousands of people. So yeah, 3 servers of up to 64 players. So that's 216 people. And 10,000 people trying to play it all at once. Yeah, but that's not all. Constant crashes. I was watching compilations of all the different glitches that the game had. Like every time you die, the map would start spinning around and, you know, people crashing to desktop and all that. Couple other things. Apparently, the collection is 63 gigabytes, which is ludicrous because I looked at the two games. I don't own the original Battlefront. I own Battlefront 2 on Steam. And Battlefront 2 is 9.5 gigabytes. And I'm assuming because Battlefront 1 is smaller than Battlefront 2, like just the scope of it is, you know, sequel is usually bigger than the previous one. I'm guessing at most it was like 8 gigabytes. So 17 gigabytes between the two games. And then for some reason, this classic collection is like 4 times the amount. Is that all due to the up-res textures? That seems a little bit weird. But anyways, but even with the up-res textures, from what I was able to glean from what I was looking at on screen, you know, so I don't know, like, if you've ever played, like, have you ever played, like, the PS1 or PS2 emulators?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, not the PlayStation ones, because...
Sure.
But I'm very familiar with emulators from, like, the early... late 90s, early 2000s, yeah.
All right, fair enough. So, like, you know, when you try to up... So, what you can do, ladies and gentlemen, when you use emulators for old consoles, one thing that a lot of them often allow you to do is up-res the internal resolution and the external resolution. And what that means is it can try to make the textures that were in the game that you were used to playing at 480p back in the day, make them be, like, 4K. So, like... up the resolution to 4K of the textures. However, unfortunately, sometimes certain games from that era aren't really made for that. And so it can make a whole bunch of stuff look really, really sharp to the point that it looks uncomfortably muddy. Like, there'll be stuff that looks really sharp and then stuff that looks really, really bad and, like, foggy. And that's sort of what seems to be happening with the Star Wars Battlefront gameplay that I'm looking at. It actually looks better to have some of the blurrier textures from the original versions. So yeah, the reason why I bring that up is, yeah, because of the similarity between the two. It's not a good sign. And, you know, honestly, no. I wish I had time to be able to play more online multiplayer. I sort of had to swear off of that, except for playing some Dead by Daylight here and there, just because of how busy I am. But if I weren't, I would absolutely would have bought this. But thankfully, I was able to... I mean, this is a perverse blessing, I guess, for being so busy. I didn't pick up the game, and neither should any of you. Do not buy this. Do not reward this type of laziness. And get the word out to as many people as you can. All right, Saab, did you play any of the original Battlefronts? Did you like them? And how do you react to this?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So Ash, myself, and a bunch of our friends growing up, this was one of our, like, big jams. Yeah. Like, when we would get together, when we did, you know, everything from, like, just casual, like, you know, hangouts over the weekend to wedding what's the stag's night out, whatever they call that, the groomsmen thing.
Oh, bachelor party?
Yeah, bachelor party. Whenever we do, like, bachelor parties, anything like that.
Oh, that's so based.
We were so nerdy because we didn't go to the peelers, as they say, as they call them, the peelers. We didn't go to the peelers. We went to a person's house, like one of our buddies' houses, and we would set up, you know, multi-LAN rooms, and we would get like 5 or 6, you know, rooms all networked together, 4 people per room, and we would play, and that's what we would do. And that was the thing. It was so, oh gosh, it was so fun. And yeah, the Star Wars was definitely one of those games that we would play, whether it was on PC or whether it was on the old Xboxes. That's really when I did do a lot of consoling. And then yeah, to see the gall of, like, oh yes, we'll only get enough servers to handle at a maximum like 10,000 people, I think it was. Like, and
no,
there
no,
were
200. No, 10,000 people tried to play the game. They only had enough servers to support 200.
Yeah, 200 people. To think that was the thing when they knew that they would be hitting it in and around like 5 to 10K players, but then they chose to actively do nothing about that. It's just the arrogance that's involved in the decision, which again is, if I were to say anything about EA, it's this unearned arrogance. The only thing they had running for them ever was they got lucky with some of their sport title things. Other than that, they have been they have been the reverse of lucky when it comes to general business, you know, highlighted concepts and normalized best practices. They don't even do that, right? Like, this is one of these companies that, you know, Microsoft did this thing where they had evaluations, and the evaluations always had to have a negative. They always had to have a negative. And somebody was always going to be in a department that was getting reviewed. There was going to be one person who was almost always going to get fired, because that's no matter how perfect you were, that's how it was. And Microsoft realized very quickly that this was bad, really bad, that this was causing massive problems in their community, of employees, of all this kind of stuff. EA is a type of company that looked at what they were doing, didn't look at any of the follow-up study, just said, this looks like it's a good idea because clearly big box person did it once, therefore it will work the same way again. And that's how they existed as a company in the trying times and hyper-competitiveness. They didn't do what was actually provably the best thing. They just did whatever some dumb idiot who happened to get lucky or whose dad was on the board suggested that they do without even knowing what they were doing. And they've been floundering ever since. And again, the only thing that's kept them above the water is this predatory hyper microtransaction thing. If I had the Battlefront IP and license, the amount of stuff I could be doing, I would have like half a dozen games that were live, that were highly active, that had like just constant progress on it. I would have like, you would be able to have like this family arc tree within the universe of Star Wars, where you could do, you had all these branching stories from different timelines, and you could like build it, whether it was just, you're just collecting things because that's what you want to do, or whether it's like, you're actually engaging in like helping to build the lore. It's like, there is literally 100 things that they could be doing that could be better, that could be more designed, well built, put together better, but they can't even take what is a clear and obvious win of relaunching or like having like a redone version of old favorites that thousands and thousands of people want to play. They can't even have the general competency to put together a basic good product. And again, it's the stupidity, the arrogance, and the selfish thinking of like, well, we don't have to do that because these people will just pay anyways. Yeah. And maybe that's our fault as gamers.
It's like they know nothing about how they know nothing about Star Wars fans and how vocal they can be about stuff that they don't like. Yeah. It's a level of insulation that I will never understand. Honestly, Saeb, like the most fan friendly thing that they could do, it wouldn't require, like, it would require a smidge amount of effort more than what they did with this Classic Collection release. Star Wars Battlefront 3, the original style Star Wars Battlefront 3 that got canceled, just rebirth it, put it out. The game is virtually done. Like, I want to be able to have battles on the ground and then get in a spaceship and take the battle up to the skies like the leaked footage promised us. Just give us that. I'd be down. Clearly a lot of other people would be down. They're happy to go back to a 20-year-old game with those graphics. Sign me up. Anyways. Yeah.
And you know what the dumbest thing is going to be? Is that, do we have anything that's actually planned for release this year for Star Wars? Is
there any game? No. Yeah. No.
Yeah, so the biggest selling video game for Star Wars in 2024 most likely will be a re-release, a bad re-release of a 20-year-old game.
Yeah.
Online, I think I like primarily created to be online to be a co-op game, and that's what they're doing. And it's just like, wow. To imagine being that incompetent at the most basic function of what your company is supposed to do.
Star Wars was the, I mean, it still is the biggest IP, but God, it could be making buku amount of money now compared to, like, remember when The Force Awakens came out, how much money that made? It could still be making that kind of money if they cared at all about the health of the universe, but now they just big, cheap cash grab. Okay, I'm done with this. Let's move on to this. Speaking of people not really taking care of their IPs. In a lot of respects, they do take care of their IPs, but in other respects, it's just, it baffles my mind why they don't just do the most obvious ass stuff. Nintendo, Ash, the other half of the Triple S League, the other third, made us aware of this through Discord today. They are pretty soon going to be taking off the online servers for Super Mario Maker. The first one. Apparently, I didn't know there were two Super Mario Maker games. I thought there was just the one.
One and two, yeah.
Okay, but so the second one is still good, but the ones for the first one are going to be shutting down on April 8th, I believe, or that's what Ash says, but I thought it was at the end of March, but I could be wrong. There's a week's difference there. It's too bad, but I get it, like, if everybody's playing two and one's barely there, why are you supporting the servers? But there is something to be said about wanting to preserve the data from those original servers. So, I don't know, maybe you could have the levels from that original game be imported into Super Mario Maker 2, but it doesn't seem like Nintendo's doing that. But there is a contingent of Nintendo fans and Super Mario Maker 1 fans that are trying to preserve the legacy of this great game. And they're doing two things. One is that they are archiving all the levels, at least according to what Ash did. So hopefully at some point in the future, they can make those old levels available to people that want to emulate them. But we know how Nintendo is when it comes to emulation. But the other thing that's really cool is that there's a community-funded effort to try and complete every single level that has ever been created in Super Mario Maker. The first one. And apparently, every single one has been beaten, except for one. And this one level is so difficult, even though it only technically takes you 10 or 12 seconds to complete.
It's a 10-second map, and somehow, like, I thought you had to be able to complete it. As, like, if you were going to put it up, I'm not sure on that. That's what I assumed. I might be wrong.
Right.
But I believe that the creator has to be able to prove that you can actually do it. Okay. So, yeah, just so somehow. Weird.
I saw what the level looks like. It's a whole bunch of spinning saw blades. And apparently you had to hit the saw blade so correctly so that it's like you're jumping on top of them. And you had to do it precisely over the course of 10 seconds so you can reach this door and then complete the level. And nobody's beaten it yet, but there's, according to Ash, over $4,000 in community-funded bounties going to whoever finally completes the level. Yeah, so they have about a week and a half or 2.5 weeks to complete this. But it's a nice story instead of a sad story. I'm just going to show how much people love that game and just how committed people are to the Mario property. And I thought it'd be nice to share amongst, last week we had a whole bunch of terrible news, and today we have some terrible news. But this is just one piece of good news amongst one or two other pieces that we're going to share with you today.
It's heartwarming.
Yeah, it's very heartwarming. Yeah, there's a project called Pretendo that is aiming to recreate the Wii U and 3DS servers for the game after the real servers go down. So, we'll see if Nintendo will let it survive. I don't know how many more bad PR... Well, Nintendo had some legal right to do what they did recently in regards to the whole Citra... Mm-hmm. And whatever the Yuzu emulators, but you know, it doesn't, going after them, it doesn't make them look good necessarily from a moral standpoint, because they've just always been bad about emulators. But I have to hope at some point that they'll back off and realize that people are trying to keep the fandoms for these games alive and healthy. So I don't know. We'll see. Sab, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, like these companies need to figure out a way to privatize this stuff. You know, not in a weird way, but like hey, let's find a way to allow, I mean, these companies that do like historical preservation, in the form of like these video game museums, I think these are the perfect avenues with which to ensure that video game creative content will always be there, in some way, shape, or form. And I think that it's a beautiful thing, and it really does remark the grandeur of what we as humans can do when we want to preserve something for historical benefit. So I praise everybody who's involved in this, the bounties that they're giving out for this kind of stuff, the way that they're going about it. And I would beg Nintendo to please look at your community and learn from them. This is a wonderful opportunity to show that you genuinely care about your community. So fingers crossed. I don't know if it'll work, but yeah.
I don't imagine that's going to happen anytime, but maybe in 5 years or so, once consoles continue the path of dying out. But I don't know, we'll see. All right, what's going on with Payday 3?
So you remember our discussion that we had about the unfortunate situation that City Skylines 2 had, where they came out with a new version of their game, and the version of their game was not as full of features and content, and not brimming with new content, new ideas, new things that you hadn't seen in the previous thing, enough to the point where you could overlook that, right? Not enough room. That is what's happening here with Payday. But unlike some of the other companies where they've made these kinds of massive blunders, just massively like they screwed up, and for sure on this, they screwed up. Payday absolutely screwed up with this. Payday 3 is not nearly as good as Payday 2. And they've been stuck between this hard place of going, okay, do we abandon completely Payday 3 and go back to making content for Payday 2? Because I believe the number recently was about 300 people playing Payday 3 and tens of thousands of people playing Payday 2.
God.
Now,
it's like Battlefield 2042 all over again.
But Payday 3 is on the Xbox package thing that they have, their little pay a price and get access to all the different games. So that's there, and that's a very good thing. But we're still looking at the situation from the outside going, oh, this sucks. This sucks for the gamers. This sucks for the devs. And normally it's the gamers and the devs who pay the highest price. Like, obviously, right? Like, this is just a state that we've seen in gaming where leadership makes a bad call, comes out with a bad product, and their immediate reaction is to, well, I guess we'll just fire 30% of our staff and then make our other staff work twice as hard so that we can actually pay the bills and get everything going. Well, in this case, the CEO has officially taken the responsibility and has stepped down. They're going to continue on as a helper to assist the incoming person, which they haven't made a permanent decision on that yet. But I thought that was finally somebody showing some wherewithal. I don't know if this person has the capability of like learning from their mistakes. Clearly they've had to step down because it was either like they're already on the brink of like insolvency. They don't want to do that, obviously. So the time to like make adjustments and buckle down is going to be really, really hard on everybody. So this is just kind of rough. But it's a bit better in the sense that, well, at least it's not the average game dev getting the heat now for a decision that probably wasn't them. You know, looking at some of the games that we've had, there's a very common theme. You know, looking at all of the games that we've had fail recently in the recent past few years, where the heads of the studio come in every week having played a different game and go, hey, can we incorporate this cool thing that I played this week? And it's a flavor of the week kind of thing that they did. And it wasn't even like that great. It was just the flavor of the week. So they spend a month trying to make this thing before it's either dropped, canned, or rolled over. We saw this in Cyberpunk a lot. The leadership was just, it was just not there, making the keen surgical decisions of what to include, what to work on, what to focus on. And that's obviously the difficult thing. Getting easily distracted by new games coming out, going, oh, look at shiny, look at shiny. Oh, shiny is so shiny. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is so cool. Oh, isn't this awesome? I'm so awesome for having played this thing that I had no hand in actually making. And therefore, you know, yeah. And it's just like, oh, good Lord, why? So yeah, that's the thing. That's the stupidity that they have made. And I got to say that that's not good, but it is better that we're now seeing people being held accountable for those decisions. Well, at least in this one particular case, and let's hope that this continues in this direction, that they have the wherewithal and the logic to go, right, so this is actually really important that we learn from this mistake. We don't make another mistake similarly down the line, which ends up invalidating and killing off basically everybody's job, because that's a way, 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 way worse kind of scenario to fall into. Mm-hmm. So
I don't like, I'm obviously aware of the Payday franchise. I've never played it. As far as just getting my experience of playing a heist game, I just go and play GTA 5. But I mean, apparently it's enjoyable enough that not a lot of people have wanted to play it. Yeah, and you're right. Like, Payday 3 recently had a 24-hour peak of just 378 players compared to Payday 2's 31,000. So 100 times.
Oh, 31,000. I underballed that a lot.
From what I can gather just from cursory search, I'm not really able to understand why it is that maybe it's just because of the lack of content that Payday 3 has compared to Payday 2. But like, aside from just that insinuation, all I'm seeing from people online is that it just had a really rough launch and not enough people could play it. But it's enough of a disaster, though, that I can understand why the guy would need to step down. All right. Well, anyways, hopefully they'll find some way to bring people back in. But if this is just the way that it's going to go, I mean, it's not like Paydays has established an IP as Battlefield is, where they can make 2042, have a bunch of people go back and play Battlefield 5 and Battlefield 1, and then have them come back to 2042 afterwards. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Speaking of other games that I don't have the time to play, Apex. Apex, great game. I can't stand playing it just because of how much it stresses me the F out. But what's going on with Apex?
So, again, Apex is EA. I'm not losing my mind, right?
It's Respawn, published by EA.
Yeah. So they had a problem, a very big problem, in a recent live streamed tournament. Some hackers not only got access to the server that they were playing the tournament on, but used that to back access the person's computer, the competitor's computers, and added cheatware into their game in the middle of the competition, live on screen. Like, you could literally see them alt tab, essentially add the program in, take the thing and adjust it and add it into the game so that they weren't, the players, the competitors were no longer in control of their game. and it added things like hackbots, the infinite vision where you could see all of the players highlighted on the map, aimbots where they could just instantly do headshots, that kind of stuff. All of that in seconds, basically. And
so it was obvious that was happening while it was
that playing. Was obvious that okay. was happening. The people started calling it out, going, hey, we're being hacked. It wasn't just one person. Mm. It was a lot of people all at the same time. And it went bad real fast.
And what's the point? And just for the lulls?
Just for the lulls, I guess, from the hacker's perspective, it was super funny to them to do this and to just kind of like, you know, be, hey, we can be total, you know, dirt bags and just remove everybody's fun. Yeah, brilliant. That's awesome. Garbage, you know, people or people showcasing that EA's server data is so flimsy, has such a problem with basic security that not only did this allow them to do this into the game, but the hackers at the same time loaded up a whole bunch of malware and spyware onto the contestants' computers themselves. This wasn't a case where they were at a location, at a set location, using, you know, provided computers. These were streamers who were streaming from home during this competition and who received hackware on their computers, and they had to like take them offline. In a lot of cases, they had to stop streaming while they got this stuff fixed, because in some cases they had to completely dump the hard drives that they were using and get new hard drives because they were permanently compromised.
And EA, you're paying for that, right?
No, EA banned them all. All of the people who were victims of the hack in the competition, who had been compromised because of their software. Nothing, clearly not EA's fault, clearly not, you know, Respawn's fault, clearly not their servers being an issue. No. That's you guys. How dare you guys cheat? So we're just going to ban you all. And yeah, good luck with that.
You got to be kidding me. There's no way.
Yeah.
They banned all those guys?
I
find that very hard to believe, even for EA. Like, those guys are a-holes, but I gotta look into this.
As of right now, as of yesterday, because I haven't been able to because this just happened yesterday. And so looking at it, I've been like trying to figure out if there's like some change or whatnot, and I haven't been able to pull anything up yet. So
yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm not finding anything saying that the guys participating got banned. Like, I mean,
these weren't huge players. Like, these weren't like huge streamers in the industry.
Well,
so,
sure, but like even if they're not that big, like people would go ape over.
And
that.
Some people are. So like there's a couple of commenters in the streaming space who have pointed this out, said that this is now, it could be, and I suspect that they've banned the accounts to make sure that those, because the accounts are already compromised.
Yeah. It's not and like they're doing it because they're accusing so the perhaps, guys. Yeah.
So perhaps they'll have a, like they're in the process of reviewing the cases. And I don't expect them to double down on this and go, no, they're for sure banned because we're a bunch of dumb butts who don't know what we're doing. I don't think it'll be that. But I do think that is kind of the immediate thing that they have tended to do, and that they're going to hide behind that. And then whether or not that's actually going to be, you know, whether or not that's actually going to, you know, what they're going to do from that, I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
So...
So I'm guessing a whole bunch of people just aren't going to be logging into Apex for the next day or two until they get this crap sorted out. That's that's terrifying.
Yeah, and this exposes the danger. So I really want to play Helldivers, but
yeah,
the Helldiver
DRM, the anti-cheat.
The DRM. My security systems, I have a couple of security systems I use on my computer, will not allow me to install the program. They will go, nope, this breaks multiple safeguards. Now, yeah, of course, it's meant to protect the video game. And a lot of these kind of DRM tools, they suffer the same problem as like false positive, a bunch of other stuff. But the experience of wanting to play a game any better when that happens, then when you hear stories like this and you go, oh, so if the DRM is hacked, like the DRM company gets a fault in their thing, do you really think that they're going to stand on a soapbox, start yelling, go, hey, everybody, you need to uninstall this immediately. We have a big problem here. Hackers can use our DRM to access your computer to steal all of your passwords for everything, banking, PayPal, everything. And you need to immediately stop and change all your passwords. Or do you think they'll do what basically every corporation has done?
Mm-hmm.
Put a lid on it for like 6 to 8 to 12 months before they quietly afternoon and go, oh, yeah, by the way, we were hacked and we lost all 28 million accounts.
Yeah. Unless it's something so public like what happened to Sony about 10 mm-hmm. years ago when they got hacked. Yeah, no, of course, that's a pattern of behavior that they're going to follow. But thankfully, I don't want to say that word, but you get my point. Mm-hmm. It at least happened during a live stream where people saw what was happening. And then, at least they're... they were as stupid as they were malevolent, the people that were hacking into this stuff.
And we should that it isn't outside of the realm that the streamers involved set up the hack to create drama to help bolster their visibility with a viral story.
It's not impossible.
I say that I want to give the benefit of the doubt, obviously, to the people who are engaged in who are at the moment clearly victims. But we also want to admit with some other news that dropped this weekend with another story that I'm not going to talk about that the first initial news that you hear is not always accurate.
Yeah.
True. It's not always the way that it first appears. And sometimes there's a bad habit of people who want to get famous and they use other people to do so, stepping on them and crushing them because it's convenient for them. And again, I don't want to name names or showcase anything directly because it's quite a sad story if it is true, but that is the danger that we must always be prepared to remember in light of things that happen. So for the moment, it's a bit of a evolving story. We look at that, we remember that DRM is bad because it controls aspects on your computer that are not good. Now It unfortunately is also the case that cheating is bad, and cheating ruins games and ruins the experience. And we can look at another Respawn title, the Titanfall, that is completely destroyed because of hackers to this day.
Yeah, that's a great way of trying to convince them to, you know, go and make Titanfall 3, guys. Yeah, just hack the game. GG.
Yeah, and so we have to bear in mind all of these problems all at the same time because of nuance and all of the things connected with that. So I hope that this gets sorted. I hope that there is a solution that fixes this. And I hope that people do not defend this EA as a company just because they're EA and they're, but my favorite video games are, you know, that's kind of stuff.
They're not made in-house at EA. They just published the games that are good. Remember, Respawn. We love Respawn. We don't love EA. Anyway. Yeah. Hopefully not much else comes out of this. Hopefully they'll squash it sooner rather than later. But given that it is EA in charge, I don't know. Hopefully the people over at Respawn will get on this. All right, let's move on to this. Fallout TV show's coming next month, right?
It's coming. It's coming.
What day
is it? It's coming next month. April. It's April. I want to say 19th, but I might be wrong.
Okay. I'm going to force my wife to watch that with me. She's usually the one that's picking the shows, but no, we're watching that. I'm looking forward to it. Clearly you are too, because Fallout's your jam. Now.
April 12th. We are weeks away at this point. Away. So it is releasing on Amazon Prime, and it's visually, it looks good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are kind of upset about the general look of it so far. There's questions about whether or not they're following lore or whether they're pulling an original, you know, Mario movie, which is not the one that just came out. It's the one from the 80s, which was really terrible.
Okay, I don't think they're doing that. Like,
I don't think so, but people obviously aren't in the mood to trust people just because they say, oh, hey, yeah, we're doing this.
Look, like, as long as they don't put the NCR in Texas, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. So, but that is the concern. There's lots of problems. There's lots of issues. There's lots of concern that we have looking at some small nitpicky minor things. I have said repeatedly, publicly, please don't be bad. Please don't be bad. Yeah. Please don't be bad. Please don't be bad. That's my official stance on it, is please don't be bad. I want this to be good. I want this to reignite and create a strong, cohesive Fallout storyline. And yeah, and then there's some people going, oh, but the main character is a girl and we don't like that because... Brr.
Wait, what? I didn't understand what you just said.
They don't like the fact that the main character appears to be a girl. And it's like, I don't think
who gives a crap? Really?
This whole thing of like that concept, right? Like, I hate that because it's so annoying. It's like, first of all,
you know what Fallout allows you to do when you play the game, right? You get to create a character. It could be either a man or a woman. Plus, there have been badass women in a whole variety of IPs.
Well, I mean, again, and I always found this complaint to be very, very pointless and stupid and arrogant, because it's like most famous sci-fi characters, Ripley, you know, my favorite captain in the Star Trek universe is the main character in Voyager. I'm spacing on her name right now because I'm confusing it with the other, like with her real name, which she does all the voice acting for the Witch of the Wilds in Dragon Age. And I absolutely love that character. Great actress, love her, met her once or twice at some conventions. Cool. Great person. But yeah, it's silly in the world of sci-fi. That's the place where it could be anything, and it doesn't matter as long as the story is good. We look at, you know, the Star Wars stuff, and I would say that the problem there was that the writers didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
And they made their... they made the characters, they made the IP bad because of their writing, not because of following a female character. The female character originally supposed to be for that series was supposed to be, I forgot her name. She's a Twi'lek Sith user. Talon is her name, but I can't remember what the character's original name was supposed to be, but Talon is her it's Darth Talon. Mm. And that looked like probably I read the script on that Lucas had proposed, and that was absolutely amazing. You can look it up on YouTube, and it's the story of Talon that 1,000 times better than whatever garbage that the actual stuff was because of bad writing.
Well, so I'll give it this. Like, I'm not a fan of the prequels, but at least I can have pretty good faith that whatever this script that Lucas wrote would have set up films for a long period of time, and that was the one thing that the movies that we did get didn't do. They didn't plan ahead at all. So
yeah, exactly. So Fallout. That's my two cents on it. I want Fallout to be good. Mm-hmm. I want Fallout to be amazing. I want Fallout to be the thing that I've been waiting literally 30 years for or more. Right. Like this is something that I've wanted to see for a long time. There's been some amazing fan constructions and whatnot for it. And I'm just sitting here going, please, 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 please be good. Please be good. Please be good. Please be good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'll be good, but we'll see.
If it's good, it will, as we've been talking about on this channel, be sort of an impetus for the franchise to become the heir apparent, the main title under Microsoft's banner going forward. Mm-hmm. It will replace Halo, which has Halo really been the main mascot for the last several years? It's hard to say.
By quality.
Exactly.
You know,
so,
by current quality. Like, obviously, in the past, I mean, Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, they're still amazing games.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, they need a reset, and Microsoft really needs this to work in their favor. I really hope that they've had the sense to make a coherent, good story. Now, there has been some blah, 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 blah online because the director of the series has said some pretty fiery things in that he's not making this to cater to the fans of the actual game. Now, people got really upset and forgot to read the rest of the quote.
Right.
So the rest of the quote, in a sense, is him saying, I make the content that I believe in, and I know the Fallout universe because he lost an entire year of his life to playing Fallout.
Yep.
And he had social repercussions because of that. So he's obviously deep in. Now, I think that's what he's saying. When you read it in conjunction with what else he said about how, like, you can't please everybody all of the time. Trying to please everybody isn't good. So you make an artistic vision that you, as a skilled creator of content, can do, and you stick with that because you're, at the end of the day, you're trying to, you take the skills that you have and you make the best thing that you can make. You're not trying to fit somebody else's work into your thing. And it's like, right. In that, like, I understand what he's saying. You can, of course, misconstrue it and take it to mean a lot of different things that it doesn't inherently mean. But for the most part, this does set up that concept of, like, he's trying to make good art.
Yeah.
And he does know the universe. He's not saying that he doesn't know the universe or that he's not following along with it. He's saying that he's not going to make the things work out in exactly a portrayal that some people think. And I'm thinking, okay, I think we might have some people who are overreacting to what he said, but at the same time, I'm a little worried, sure. But I'm going to cross my fingers and go, let's just hope for the best.
Yeah. I think it's in a good position though. To succeed. I do appreciate that's the approach that they're taking, where they're not relying on pre-existing storylines because it maximizes their creative freedom. But they are still hemmed in by the pre-existing lore. We're still going to see the Brotherhood of Steel. We're going to see the NCR based on everything that we've been seeing in the trailers. So it will feel familiar in that regard, but it will also feel fresh. And that's exactly what I want with this type of project. All right, just a few more weeks for that. And then we're just going to conclude on this, which is we were just briefly getting into this before we started the show, but a little bit of good news, some interesting news, at least for World of Warcraft side. What just dropped today?
So dropping today is a completely brand new World of Warcraft game that will only be around for about a month,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, on multiple levels is bizarre. But even more bizarre than that, this isn't the rumored Vampire Survivors game that they've been working on.
Oh, really?
This is, in fact, a battle royale. Which makes you go...
Wait, they were like, so which one is the newer trend? And then they got it mixed up. And it's like, oh, wait, battle royales.
Something like that. Yeah, this is so weird. And the fact that this is only so all you have to do is hop onto your Blizzard account, have it be activated, then you go to the launcher, you install the game, and then you just select this new game mode, which is Plunder Storm, I think it's called.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And you hop into the game. You don't need any existing characters. You don't need to grind to level whatever it is. You just get in, and just like any other Battle Royale game, you just go through a couple of clicks, and you're queued. You pop in, and you do stuff. Now, some people are like, oh my goodness, they created this PvP nightmare around like the classes and all the World of Warcraft stuff. Actually, no. The first initial part of the game is not very little PvP at all. It's actually mostly PvE, and you're running around, you're collecting stuff, you're doing things.
Okay.
In the latter part of the game mode, it goes into a bit of a PvP brawl where everybody kind of brawls it out with what they've got. And then you win stuff. But in that initial, the vast majority of the awards comes from the first part of the game, not the second part of the game. So there are unique rewards that you can collect for the PvP aspect of it, but I believe it's only three. I might be incorrect on that. Don't quote me on it. But the PvP reward small and not important. The other rewards that you get for your main account is stuff that like a pirate outfit, a bunch of mounts and some other stuff, some toys, some pets, a bunch of other cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's their thing. That's what they're doing. That's what's going on. That's what they have situated currently right now. And it's very interesting.
You've played it?
No, I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but the concept is very interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I am very confused.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, wait, you guys are doing a what now?
But it's PvE at first, and you're not relying on, you're not worrying about what items or armor you have beforehand, that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So good. It's this is very interesting. I'm very like, huh, this is very.
And no marketing for it either. That's really weird.
It has been marketed for the last couple months as a surprise. It showed up as a black Skull and Bones flag on their timeline.
Okay.
And they announced it a couple days ago, which they didn't actually announce it. They said, can't wait to show you what's going on here. And then they said, launching on the 19th, 20th in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
A full day behind the North America. Ha 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 ha. and then they poofed off to the, wherever. So again, it's so weird.
But I mean, if it's going to work, it's going to work in the way that they set it up, because that makes total sense to me. With what I've played of World of Warcraft and some of the PvP stuff, yeah, it's a good mixture. And I don't know, maybe if there is a way where they can somehow, I don't know how the hell they would do it, but like you let you use your pre-existing weapons to be able to participate in something like that, that could be a game changer. But as it stands right now, it's a cool little addition. Do it for a month, see how people react to it, and then, I don't know, go from there. Yeah, it sounds like an interesting idea. Let me know how it is, by the way, dude. I'm curious.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm gonna get into it today. I've not had a chance to play it yet at all. But yeah, this is just very bizarre, and perhaps showing that the new leadership at Blizzard is willing to take chances and is willing to experiment in ways that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
So. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Well, guys, that does it for this episode of Maximum News. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next week, where I'm going to probably give my initial impressions of both Dragon's Dogma and Rise of the Ronin 2. man, so I'm so excited for those games, but I have no idea how the hell I'm going to be able to fit into my schedule. At the moment, I'm probably only going to get like 4 or 5 hours into DD2, and then my wife and I are going to co-op Rise of the Ronin when she's awake. And available. It's going to be interesting working on that while also playing all the other games for my channel. But we'll figure it out. If you like this episode, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you hit the like button, leave a comment. If you have any thoughts on any of the stuff that Simon and I talked about, positive, negative, we want to hear from you, provided, you know, you leave your comments in a civil way. Thanks, Sib, as always, for doing this with me. Anything you want to plug before we're done?
We are, like I said, I'm going to get some footage up about this Plunderstorm game and see what people think. And I'm also going to dip my toes into Dragon's Dogma.
Nice.
So we're gonna be doing something with that. We'll see where it goes.
All right. And you guys can just find me on all the regular forms of social media, just at Max Derrett. I'll put a link to that and all the other relevant stuff in the description box below. Thanks, guys. And until next time, I want to remind you, as always and as per usual, stay yellow.
Goodbye.